Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
You know, besides the ball carrying and the work rate and the defensive efforts, and obviously that, you know, the memory of the game will be, you know, game one and still hunting Marcus Smith down, who you would have thought would have been an awful lot quicker.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
On this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil, in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
On Friday, it is a momentous day for regular viewers, listeners, you know why. And we'll get to it, and we'll try to keep our emotions in check. In the meantime, there is a show to do. There's a show to do. So Keith Tracy will meet Keith Friday today, live in studio. Tune in for that from 8 p.m. or 8 a.m. Whoa. Alan Quinnan also gives us his Six Nations midterm report. No Six Nations this weekend. There is URC, but there's also plenty of news to talk about. James Lowe, Bunyaki, Jamison Gibson Park's futures. Andy Farrell linked with Saracens. Maybe it's not going to happen at all. After all, Mike Prendergast is leaving Munster's. Lowe's talk about with Quinny. And then Daniela Fisichella, our favourite Italian buddy, will talk about Italian football. Whether it's in an existential crisis in Europe, maybe not. So I'm thinking Inter and I'm thinking Juventus, but hello Atalanta, good morning Fiorentina. So there's a lot in it, you know. We'll do a bit of Serie A nostalgia as well, because I think people like that, you know.
I'm gonna start.
He does, yeah.
Oh, don't go, please.
Please don't leave.
So this guy was.
I agree with you.
Yeah, don't you?
I think after that one of those last conversations, you get yourself together there.
Sounds like it's going to be Cullum's last show as well.
I went afterwards to watch the great highlights of Roma Juve game, maybe, that Daniela was talking about.
Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah,
the aesthetic. So
yes. Did to him, you
the
know.
Aesthetic. It just looks. You know, it has that kind of fog.
There's that
permafog. All was over.
Yeah.
Are you just saying yeah?
No, I know. I know the vibe. I know the vibe. The picture you're trying to paint. I completely respect.
So harsh on someone. Are you just saying, yeah?
Do you actually know what's going on here? Are you in the building? Are you in the room?
No, because I was saying that. We were saying that. So this is off the back of the last chat with him, right? With Daniela.
Yeah.
And then you went quietly into your corner to watch this, and I knew you were watching some, and you were like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah,
so lovely.
So he does like it, you know, just be yourself.
Another thing that you should watch, everyone should watch, Arthur, maybe you can paint the picture of this one, a video that everyone should watch today. Emotional roller coaster.
Sit yourself down.
You were crying,
certainly welling up.
It was your best bits, was it?
Oh, his thing. I've now really forgotten. Isn't it? Dennis Taylor, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Talking about John Vargo.
Mm. It's posted by I Love Snooker on Twitter, X, you'll get it wherever. But yeah, it's like a 4.5 minute
friend of 50 years, yeah. Very, very tough. Tough stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so who's with me this morning? Good question. So, it's my left. I was in sleep mode for a number of weeks, right? In terms of this.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You could say that you were Shane Hanoff.
There you go.
But now we've turned you Shane Hanan.
Ah, yeah.
So welcome.
So you've done
but that. I started with you today because really there's only one place to concentrate on this morning.
Yeah.
On his very last bit of breakfast, the good doctor, the Winter Olympic boy.
No, don't say that. That's,
which is it's a late blooming of your interest in something specific that people enjoyed. I would own that.
I'm not having anything with boy at the end of it.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
34-year-old man. Like,
you're a young man in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand, well, boy. hopefully.
Boy in many things. If you, I don't even think you can be the president yet.
Mm.
You're a boy.
35.
No, but yeah, I could probably start my run now.
Yeah, for the next election.
For the next one, yeah.
Yeah. But you couldn't have
I couldn't have gone. I don't think so.
There's Yates, there's Markovic, there's Neil Jordan, there's Westlife. You know the rest.
Mm.
I've new honorary Sligo.
Neil Jordan for Sligo, yeah.
Was he born there? Like I don't, because it's a funny one. Like I don't know him. I don't know of him being of Sligo.
My research was Sligo greats.
I could be wrong. He probably was. I think you're right in their billing, but it's funny. I've never heard of any.
Born in Ross's Point.
Yeah.
Educated in Raheny though.
And okay, so he left.
It's like Caelan Dorris is from Mayo.
Yeah, like, oh, well, yeah, it isn't really from Sligo.
Yeah,
there, so.
Yeah. Interviewed Neil Jordan when Michael Collins was re-released there a decade ago. It's very interesting cadence. Never spoken to anyone like him.
Neil Jordan?
Yeah, it's the way he talks to you. It's not even the accent. It's not even the volume or tone.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting way of talking. You're like, give me more Neil Jordan. Maybe it's a Sligo thing. Anyway, it is Arthur James O'Dea. I've dressed in tribute to you.
Cheers, pal.
Oh. I wore the darkest jumper I could find.
Cullum texted me last night and said, will we wear the darkest, some dark clothes tomorrow in tribute to Arthur? Because he will obviously wear dark clothes. And I said, absolutely, great plan. And I was 10 minutes down the road this morning.
He's caught
it. It was just before 5 or around 5 a.m. I sent Cullum a voice note. How very boomer of me. I had completely forgotten, and I was 10 minutes down the road.
Like, 7.
I just couldn't turn around. And,
you inadvertently wore the brightest thing you
have. I literally wore the brightest t-shirt I probably own, so apologies in advance. But it's still in tribute to yourself.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Light and shade, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
So this truly is your last top of the show on breakfast.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to focus on?
Oh, Congress. We get Dick still going to Congress.
Yeah, perfect.
But sorry, can we just ask before we dive into Congress?
Yeah.
Are you going to get your sleep back? How does your weight change? It's because there's a lot of people who want to peek behind the curtain and wonder what's next for Arthur James O'Dea.
What's next in terms of what?
Just general. What's next with your career? Like, where are we headed? What's
an excellent interview.
Yeah, basically.
I'm heading to the evenings, so that's the. Changing the sleep is pretty profound.
Big time, yeah.
So as opposed to getting up at for 5, you're kind of getting up for 8 or 9, I guess.
Will you get up that early even still?
Yeah, you don't want to lose the whole day. Lose the whole day. You got stuff to do in the morning.
Yeah.
But that'll be nice. That'll be pretty profound.
Go to a coffee shop,
change.
Have a breakfast, relax.
Yeah. Even talk about that, like going lunch.
Yeah.
Lunch out.
Yeah. 100%.
Just something like that, but that'll be nice.
Congress.
I have a few Arthur Fridays.
Congress, mate. Oh, yeah, go on.
You noticed one already. Maybe you've changed your mind since. What's the most universally loved sport that you never got into?
Oh, yeah. You've been testing these out for a few days. What's the most universally loved sport? What did I say? I think I said ice hockey, but I don't think that's properly universally loved. Basketball. And that's not like I love The Last Dance.
Yeah.
And I
love the idea of basketball.
Love great basketball documentary. There's some great basketball books out there. Jeff Perlman wrote a few about the Lakers. Some great books.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever actually sat down to watch a full game of basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe in the Olympics last year when some of those USA, Serbia ones, but like never sat down to watch a full game of NFL. Mm. Never happened.
Yeah, you have to be supporting a team.
I'm not against it, but I'm not for it.
Yeah. It's going to be quick fire questions.
What else
Arthur.
Is that? Do you have any?
Cricket would be my.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Billions of people, over a billion people are interested in cricket. Yeah, second most popular sport. In the world. but billion, I just never. And there's loads of lads in here who really love cricket, and I can understand it because I love snooker, and loads of people don't love snooker. So it's all very subjective, but no, cricket's never done it for me. Just hasn't done it for me.
I love the vibe a bit of basketball, of everything about it. I think you have to really love it. But people who do love it these days, they tell me that it's not as good as it used to be. It's very similar to football and that the Mavericks are dying out.
Yeah. You mean basketball, sorry?
Basketball, yeah. They tell me this.
Same with a lot of sports. The Mavericks are kind of...
It's a hard sport as well, where you know there's going to be like 80, 90, 100 points aside. And you got to work your way up to that. You'd really want to be enjoying. I kind of figured more in life, I don't really like sports with too many scores.
Oh, why?
It's kind of what's bothered me with hurling a bit.
I was going to say hurling?
Yeah. Mm. Even the thing, the Limerick game, the last day, like...
36 points.
36 points. So, like, it's just when you break it down. I know the games last longer. But 36 points in a 70-minute game is what, like, a score every 2 minutes?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a lot. That's an awful lot. Like, that's not even... You know, that's... I think they had 50-odd shots, so that's 50 puckouts for the tip keeper. You're like, that is a lot.
I wonder what fixes that for hurling. They won't do anything because hurling it'd be sacrilegious to.
It's not
do
not it. Entertaining. It's just like it's so different.
The ball too light.
I think they kind of found it wasn't. I just think they're probably better. I don't know. They're obviously bigger men, better athletes, better whatever. So like, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. It is like it can be amazing if two teams are doing that and it's going toe to toe. Jesus Christ! There's not much worse now than a hurling washout. Like
yeah.
It's even you see it. I remember watching the Cork Waterford one. They had like 10 points within the first 10 minutes. You're like, that doesn't all necessarily mean it's done. But you're like, Jesus, this is too efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
They've just killed this off now and they'll hold them now at arm's length. Anyway.
Arthur, greatest sporting moment. Oh. Sorry, I know you probably have a list there, Colm, you want to work
what
off.
What do you mean? Just great, ever.
Your own personal, the best you've ever felt watching sport.
One of the Limerick All-Irelands, I'm sure.
First one, maybe.
Probably. One of them. That was probably it, yeah. That's no brainer.
Not Sligo winning a...
Winning the Nicky Rackard, Larry Maher.
Rackard.
Slightly fewer people in Croke Park those days.
Slightly, yeah.
But it was still good. Still good. Yeah. I was class as well. I remember that. They bet our man, one of them, and it was, good God, it was cold.
Yeah.
You know, I think where Croke Park's empty.
Oh.
And you're up high.
Nothing worse.
It is freezing. It's like a microclimate in there.
There is, yeah.
I also have a quiz for you.
Oh yeah, go on.
Speciality.
That's the end of the questions.
Very neat.
One question for him, one for me that I just made up on the spot. Yeah.
Who does Juan Mata play for?
Oh.
In tribute of his quiz knowledge.
Yeah.
I heard this. Is he still in Japan?
No. That was two clubs ago.
Wow.
He's playing at his second club in this country. Does anyone out there know? I haven't looked.
Is he in Australia?
He is in Australia.
Oh, you're right.
He is in Australia.
Right,
who does he play for in Australia?
I don't know. Is it Melbourne someone?
It is Melbourne.
Yeah.
What's a fancy way to
Glory
say win?
Or
fancy
triumph.
Way to say win. Or Melbourne victory.
Melbourne triumph. Yeah. Melbourne victory. And he was at Western Sydney Wanderers. They were my own sides back in the day.
Never heard Vissel Kobe or somewhere he's out.
Vissel Kobe, yeah. And then before that he was with?
I think Galatasaray.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's at four clubs since United. Yeah. Does he have over or under 40 Spain caps?
It's just the Juan Mata quiz.
I'm here now with the Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'd say over.
Because he's asking the question, it must be under. Because it's interesting if it's under. See, get inside Cullum's head.
Maybe.
As his teammates would say, 41.
41. I was wrong.
What country does John Joe Shelby play his football in?
Oh, he's in like Qatar, isn't he?
You're not too far off.
UAE.
Does he play in the first or second division?
Oh, he's playing down low. Is he?
Yeah,
he plays for Arabian Falcons.
Good team.
Great team, yeah.
Well, there was a season when he was playing for Newcastle in the Championship that he was the best player the Championship has ever seen.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. Janjo. yes or no? Marouane Fellaini is retired.
I mean, he's got to be. He was late 20s going to Man United, and that was 12 years ago. He's got to be retired, surely. He's got the hair all cut back.
Yeah, and he, you know what?
He's looking slick.
It turns out He was hiding as handsome this whole time.
John Joe Shelby?
No, not John Joe Shelby.
Fellaini.
Sorry, Fellaini. Fellaini is a handsome bloke, yeah.
Yeah. But it often was seen as not being that, you know what I mean?
It was the hair you see.
He retired 3 years ago.
Yeah, he got it.
Jeez.
Do you know how many Belgium caps he has? It's unbelievable.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a, I think he injured
a lot, did he? I could be wrong on that, but it's just feel like he was always there.
Not quite, but he's flirting with the idea.
Flirting with it. 87.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Is it 87?
87, exactly. Wow, wow, wow.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
Plenty more of that. Later.
Stay tuned.
Where that came from, by the way.
Will we do some sport from last night?
Plenty more than that.
Can we talk about Ryan Yates' finger?
Oh my God.
So obviously that you said this to me last night and it was pretty...
Do you see it?
Graphic. I looked it up after you said it to me.
I was texting one of you and I looked up and I have
it. I didn't see it.
Oh man.
Just one of those where it's completely... Yeah. Pinky finger is absolutely bent sideways.
Took it very well. Took it in a very Ryan Yates fashion, I would say. Just going with it. Popped it back in, played on.
I do think if any of us were in a packed stadium in front of television cameras, we would also take it quite well.
The adrenaline will power you through.
Gotta look cool here.
Yeah, because like I think you're like players who broke down in tears when they got halved or injured. Nanny. At Anfield.
Oh yeah.
From Carragher. And Rooney was absolutely furious at him.
He's crying over there.
Beckham's metatarsal.
Was that more
tears about what he was going to miss?
I think so.
Possibly, yeah.
Aldo Duscher. Remember him?
Oh yeah.
That was the Deportivo boy who did it. Where was I going with all that?
Aldo Duscher.
Where was I going with all that? Was
last night's games.
Yeah, last night's games. There was something else though. Anyway. Oh yeah, the Forest game, right? The Forest game was very good. It was very, very good. A Fenerbahce battered him. So Forrest went over there to Turkey and won 3-0 in the first leg. Yeah. Our buddy Andy Reid, who was on the show yesterday, was on TNT coverage last night, pitch side.
What was the highlight of his day, I wonder?
Doing that game.
He's doing the game, yeah. So Forrest, they lost on the night 2-1. They're true on aggregate, quite comfortably. And yet Celtic won on the night, away to Stuttgart, but they're out on aggregate. They've a remarkable statistic, Shane, aren't they?
Yeah, Celtic, so I saw this last night. Celtic's Europa League elimination by Stuttgart last night is the 22nd successive season that they failed to advance in a European tie after the group stage. Their most recent knockout stage triumph was against Barcelona in 2004. I know they obviously don't have a massive budget compared to some of these European clubs, but like compared to Scottish clubs, they obviously do. I just wonder what like Celtic fans, they have a huge fortnight coming up, obviously the Old Firm this weekend as well. How Celtic fans feel about every year just going back to the well in Europe and just not being able to progress further than maybe they would like to progress. Like, it's one thing winning the Scottish Premiership 6 or 7 times in a decade, which they tend to do, but to not progress in Europe must be really demoralising. And obviously Martin O'Neill had to last night just... because of what happened in the first leg against Stuttgart, shut up shop and just forget about it and focus on the league now and the cups. But yeah, I think if you're a Celtic fan, that's... this must be so disappointing and gut-wrenching every single year to just be dumped out of Europe unceremoniously. Look,
Martin O'Neill touched us afterwards last night too about the want and desire for them to progress, but they are stuck in purgatory, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now it'll be interesting if Hearts win the league. Very good possibility. It'll be interesting their response to that.
The Celtic response.
Yeah, then there actually might be a bit more interest about the whole situation from next season onwards. But I don't know, what do I want to do about the European thing? Now, Rangers have the answer to that. They got to a couple of finals. It can be done.
Yeah.
When's the last time Celtic got to a final? 2004, wasn't it?
2004, wasn't it? Yeah. Porto, yeah.
Or 2003.
Yeah, the year before Porto won the
So I don't know what they're going to do. Like, but this weekend's very interesting. You have the Old Firm midday on Sunday, and then Hearts are against, is it Aberdeen? I think Hearts have.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievably tight there. You just expect, I kind of just expect their Hearts to fall away by Christmas time or even before. But they're the real deal, it seems. It would ultimately be, like, if you're a non-Celtic or Rangers persuasion, this would be a great thing if Hearts won. So there's 4 points clear at the moment of Rangers. And they're 6 points clear of Celtic, but Celtic have a game in hand. So there's plenty to play for. Anyway, they played well last night. They won 1-0. They scored for 36 seconds, actually, in this game. So the comeback was on. Sucker got a lovely goal that was disallowed. And elsewhere, Palace won against Mostar. A couple of things I noticed, right? The art of the 1-on-1.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's dying out. I don't know what's happening with it, right? But I have kind of less and less confidence that a player is going to score in a 1-on-1 situation a lot of the time. Omari Hutchinson, for instance, was true. Clean true. Last night for Forest at the end of the game. Now, the Fenerbahce goalkeeper had a fantastic match. Made a very good save. But it happened too. Ismaila Sarr, I think, in the Palace game, 2-1-1. It's a very poor finish.
Yeah.
He just, there was no nuance to it at all, no subtlety. He just smashed at the keeper.
What kind of 1-1 are you thinking about?
Like, I'm talking clean through. You know the one where,
a bit of time.
Yeah, a bit of time. Now, there's a few things, right? It rarely happens at that level of football, I suppose, that you're given that much time to go through 1-1. I don't know. I think even the art of finding the corner regularly, the art of a player going around the goalkeeper, Ronaldo, Michael Owen style.
Bring it back.
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's because it's happening more infrequently. That I don't know if the skill is actually trained that much anymore. Do you know?
The Šeško winner against Everton, that's not a 1-on-1.
No, I wouldn't say so.
It's his first time, and it was more of a.
He was set up, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he had more of a 1-on-1 situation after that, deep in injury time, which Pickford came out and claimed. Which I didn't really. I couldn't understand why Pickford didn't do that for the Šeško goal.
Yeah.
But I just see it kind of more and more. Like, there's very few players that when they're 2-on-1, I'm like, I really think they're going to score.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
What's the greatest one-on-one? One jumped out to me immediately.
One-on-one player.
The greatest one-on-one goal. One is straight away in my head when you mention it.
You're thinking Nani, are you?
No. Fernando Torres, Champions League, at the death. Remember he step over, takes it around.
Is that Gary Neville's orgasm helping?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I like that Nani one. It was only the Community Shield, but that was great.
Yeah.
Because it was an intercept on, I think, Vincent Kompany, and he had the whole half the pitch. And I think he went around the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beautiful thing. I don't know, I don't see it that much. You know, it was the right, Robbie Fowler would find the corner. Michael Owen on a one-on-one situation. Ronaldo, go around.
Haaland still does it.
Haaland I back. I was talking with Phil about this outside. It was like Haaland, Harry Kane I'd back, true one-on-one.
There's probably just a lack of players like that coming at that angle anymore.
Gooch Cooper was great at it. bend the shoulder.
Bring it into other sports.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you had to have the knack. Some players, when they're in front of the goalkeeper, I think, panic, and strikers even panic. But if you just take a moment... Šeško talks about, I mentioned this to you, box breathing. Don't know if you've heard this method that Benjamin Šeško said he uses. He talks about, I have a definition of box breathing here. Sounds simple. Inhaling, holding, exhaling, and holding to a count of 4 to calm his mind, which just sounds like breathing to me.
It does, yeah.
But it's a type of trick he uses to stay calm in those high-pressure moments like the goal against Everton. So he said in his post-match comments.
Yeah.
But you have to be calm in that moment as a striker. And if you're going to panic... it's just not going to work out. I think keepers have got better as well. Our goalkeeping coaching maybe has got better in the last 20 years, which is possibly an element to it.
You know what? Interesting though, right? If you think about it. So I'd say, you correct me if I'm wrong here. So if we're seeing less one-on-ones, we're seeing way more of the cut in from the left and right and hit it across.
Mm-hmm.
Like that goal, it existed obviously, but you didn't see it anymore.
That's just
a change in dynamics.
Well, that's it. Like, I'm like, this is it. My perception of this, that the type of goal you see nowadays wasn't really around.
We're also
like the Salah goal. Yeah. Like that never.
The quintessential Salah goal.
Yeah.
You see the Premiership years in the 90s, no one was doing this stuff.
Demba Ba after Gerrard's slip.
But I just remember those weird things of like Kanchelskis being true 1-on-1, and he was an out and out right winger. So what was he doing going through 101 all that time? Do you know what I mean? There was the space that players had. Like,
I think we see less 101s also because of the dawn of VAR. Players were on the edge of the line and possibly got away with offsides back in the day. Nowadays, players know there's no point. We're not going to get away with this. So there are less offsides. Do you know what I mean?
Of the evenings there. It was definitely the Sarr one really stood out for me last night. Mm. For people who haven't seen, like, he's true. The goalkeeper stands his ground. Like, goalkeeper's not coming out. And he just hits it out. He just kind of hits it at him. It was just like he had never been in that situation before.
Yeah.
And this is obviously a quality footballer we're talking about. Omari Hutchinson, a technical player, true one-on-one. Mm. Now, that was more of a better save. It was impressive enough. But it was still like, I don't really back this guy to score.
Mm.
And of course, there are one-on-ones scored. I'm not saying it doesn't happen ever. I'm just saying, I don't believe in the players, and I feel like the art is dying out of a really good one-on-one finisher.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think of strikers back in the day in the Premier League, like the Andy Coles or...
The cloud of nostalgia could be like, we're only ever seeing the once he finishes, because famously Andy Cole missed loads of chances.
True, yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, are you having this?
The Andy Cole thing?
Not this general, this thing.
Yeah,
about
I think
the
it's just probably the change in trend. I don't know, yeah, I don't, it normally, it is rare to see. You know, like the one that stands out from a few years ago, Salah against City, one of them, when Alisson just upped it over the top.
Mm.
He's great at finishing them one-on-ones. He always gets it very close. But it's unusual at the same time to find him coming down the centre like that.
Mm.
So it's just probably, it's just a change in place where the power's coming from. But I'm with you. Although, like, a one-on-one, you tend to assume that if a one-on-one, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So the line has come up too quick here, or someone's jumped out.
There's obviously a catastrophic problem.
Something's happened.
Someone's done something massively wrong. Like,
yeah.
Someone has failed their assignment, in the words of Liam Senior. You know what I mean?
Marking assignment.
Loads of games tonight. Premier League, Wolves against Aston Villa.
It's a dangerous enough game.
That's tonight.
Yeah, Friday.
Those Friday night games in Premier, they'll get you.
Yeah, they'll get you. And Villa's form has been brutal.
That's
so
at Molyneux, by the way. Molyneux.
Or they'll smash them.
Wolves Villa. Those are options. And there's a full list of League of Ireland games. We have live commentary, don't we? I believe we do.
We do, yeah.
We have
Bowes Shams.
As he'd say. I'd say Rovers. He says Shams. Bowes, Bohemians against Shamrock Rovers. 8 p.m. Tonight with
Jonathan Higgins
and Vinny Perth. And then there's a 7:45 games. You got Drogheda against Shells, you got Pats Dundalk, you got Derry Waterford, and you got Galway against Sligo.
Rovers.
The real Rovers.
Yeah. Darren Anchia is going to be back with Billy Walsh. Do you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Big coup.
This is for the LA games.
Bringing the band back together.
Finish up. As the IABA's head of coaching in November, we did a piece on that, actually. We had Kieran Cunningham, didn't we, on the show that morning.
Yeah.
After spending over 20 years producing 10 Irish Olympic medalists and multiple world champions, and there were 154 elite-level medals collected by Irish boxers, and he's going to take his talents to the US to help them. That's a hell of a ticket.
Mm, yeah.
Watch and answer. So good to see him back, because we thought he was going to retire. We thought we'd never see him again.
Do you want to mention a couple of...
He's seeing much of them.
We'll see him now.
He's seeing the Olympics, I guess.
Point out that Josh Rock's unbelievable 9-darter at the Premier League darts in Belfast last night, which I did want to mention. But also, a question for you both. Maybe I'll ask Keith Tracy this one as well, or Keith.
Is Freddy. This from the comments?
No, it's just a general question that popped up into my head. I was reading an article the other day about Aston Villa and how they felt that the atmosphere at Villa games had got significantly poorer in recent... Look, obviously, this is dependent on form and teams create atmospheres in the ground, I guess. But Unai Emery, apparently, in Aston Villa, wanted to find ways to improve the atmosphere at Villa Park. One idea is to organise a singing section ahead of upcoming fixtures. They obviously already have the Holt End. There's hospitality that people are giving out about, but there's always going to be hospitality in Premier League grounds. Dan Bardell, who we've had on the show, obviously, Aston Villa journalist, responded to the post saying, I think vloggers are killing the atmosphere. This has cropped up a little bit. I don't think, like, you see Angry Ginge, you know, doing YouTube videos from Old Trafford, but I don't think that's killing. But, like, I do understand the point that there are people now at games for whom they would never have been at the game without the handheld camera and the content, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe don't even care about the team, but realise that there's clicks there. I don't know. There is something in that you don't really see it in League of Ireland, thankfully, just yet. But at Premier League ground, certainly, you see people walking around with the cameras doing the Vox Pops outside the stadium, like everywhere down Matt Busby Way, you're seeing 3, 4, 5, 10 people just being interviewed. Whereas back in the day, it was, you know, you might see obviously Arsenal fan TV doing it, but now everyone is doing it. And I do think maybe there is something in that, that the short-term memories we all have from clicks and watching these videos has hit the atmosphere. Look, maybe I'm reaching a bit there, but I think Dan Bardell has a point that it's not what it used to be. And we're getting nostalgic again, but it's not the atmosphere at football stadiums just isn't what it used to be. You see, like Šeško's goal, for example, the other day, you just know, and even for Cunha's goal against Arsenal, you know that 2 days later, you're going to have seen every single angle of that goal from the stadium. And right, you know, you see it from both ends. Mm-hmm. And that's because everyone has their phone out for every single moment because they want that moment to go viral on social media. Imagine the amount of moments they'd have to film that end up getting binned.
You know, it's, I thought it was becoming passé to record all the action now and then we're seeing it less. And I definitely feel that with concerts.
Oh, yeah.
There are fewer phones out now than there were maybe like 5 years ago.
Fewer?
Yeah, I like anecdotally feel that. I was like conscious like pre-COVID that like everybody would have their phones.
Really?
Out.
Right.
You know, it's slightly fewer. There's loads, but it's slightly fewer. But the whole, yeah, like atmosphere of the game, there's too much distraction for people. There's too much. If the right back is kicking out of play long for a throw, almost instinctively you're going to go to your phone. Because that's like
I never at do, the match. Funnily enough, yeah, I never do.
I was at Old Trafford recently for the 4-4, and it was a 4-all game against Bournemouth. But yeah. I didn't reach for my phone once.
Never. I keep it in my pocket and never take it out. I had to get it at half time.
Yeah.
I can never understand when you're watching, you're seeing it on TV, and there's someone taking a corner and someone's filming from behind them.
Yeah.
You know, like you just don't. You literally can't. I can't.
Multiple 20, 30 people behind the corner taker.
You can't even explain to me what's going on in terms of why that's your motivation. I'm not even judging them.
Yeah, it's like the people put up the on today's office on the Monday and they're somewhere unbelievable. It's like I am literally at the corner. The player is right beside me.
You don't get that much anymore, do you?
No, you don't.
The old today's office
and you're sitting
in the stadium,
on a beach. I've had worse Mondays and you're sitting in Canary Islands.
That kind of banter's
really
gone.
Really rude not to. Yeah, yeah. As you drink a passport
in the afternoon. Yeah. Passport of Terminal 1, Dublin.
What's happened that kind of fun? That was good fun.
It still goes on.
It got ridiculed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It got ridiculed.
The same people who do the passport photo are the people in the corner flag who have the phones out. 100%
rude
the same.
Rude not
people.
To.
It's like, rude not to.
I miss that. Terrible, but like, you know, safe.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's ridiculous.
What was the best year to be alive?
I don't know.
2019. Blissfully unaware of how it was.
I don't know.
It'll always be, I suppose, a certain, like, I suppose it'll
everyone will have a nostalgic answer, won't they?
It'll be subjective.
Well, like, what was your perfect age? We all probably think 21, 22, maybe.
I don't buy into the age
thing.
I'm not
going back before the iPod. Not a chance.
Yeah, but I can't like, vividly remember secondary school that well.
You can't?
No, I remember bits
long time
pieces,
ago,
like, but I can remember it in pictures, not in video. Do you get me?
Yeah.
I have video memory of college. I have picture memory of school.
Yeah, whereas...
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have camera phones.
You must have started secondary school pre-Saipan, like.
I started right after 9/11. No, right during... Jesus right before Christ. 9/11.
That month?
Do you know we got the Friday after 9/11 off?
What day did it happen on?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I was...
Why not the Wednesday off?
Because by the Friday... we're still trying to get in contact with people in New York. Yeah. A lot of people have family in New York.
Jeez.
You better didn't think of the answer.
Didn't think you'd have the answer.
There was an assembly called and he was, we're going to have Friday off. I started then, and then Saipan, yeah. I did my knee for Saipan, actually. So I myself would have also missed the tournament.
So you remember some things, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. But I honestly don't have vivid memories, are only from the last decade. Like vivid stuff.
And then baby brain kicks in for the last couple of years.
Does anyone have the answer to this? Maybe like there would be a scientific answer of like the best year to be alive.
Someone's already said Dermot Keane in 1990 got to see Ireland in Rome against Italy.
A lot of those people. A lot
too
of those
far back.
But that's not for DK, like.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, depends on the age.
See, 1990 against Romania, right, that penalty shootout was a Monday afternoon. Billy Bowie told me this. He like, looked out and there was not a sinner on the roads. Everyone was watching this. No one went back to work kind of thing, if you could afford it.
It was funny because I think my father was working. So yeah. Tour had just come in. But it was literally...
But he's working in places where there would be TVs.
So everything just stopped.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that. I love that. Like, it's literally the closest thing we've had to that since then, or around that time would have been Tri-Paris Hungary.
Yeah.
Because remember all the videos we were getting from Dublin Airport?
Why do people keep forgetting different things? Like the World Cup in 02, and 2016.
No, examples like that.
Yeah,
like, of course,
like,
so too. But I mean, in recent times, when we're talking about, you brought this up about the whole vlogging sensation and people on their phones. When's the last time that, not the world, like, but as many people as possible stopped and watch something live. It feels like Tripart Hungary.
The country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point.
I mean, yeah, I'd be interested to know the numbers on it.
It's so rare anyway.
Like, but the Rugby World Cup obviously gets huge
rugby
numbers.
Like, I'm not being too glib about it. Like, it gets a lot of high, it gets big numbers. Does big business.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know how many people are actually watching it.
But at that, say the New Zealand quarterfinal in 2023, when we lost that game with 4 points, it was Ronan Kelleher nearly gets the try.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, would you say the country came to a standstill?
It was like 1.6
million. The last 15 minutes.
1.6 million people. Like, so it was crazy numbers. Toy show. I know the country doesn't come to a standstill in that same way. That it's not.
Well,
adults,
the only thing about talk show is it brings Twitter/X back from One Night Only when it was originally fur.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of rugby begrudgers in my life who would like staunchly be against rugby, like hate. It's more about the perception of what it is like.
Yeah.
But I'd say, I don't know, those last 10 minutes against New Zealand, they might have watched. If they're in a pub, obviously, you know what it's like. But
the world will come to a standstill next month when the Artemis 2 mission launches to the moon, the first humans to return to the moon since 1972.
Apollo 13.
Sorry, say that again. Sorry, what's happened?
The Artemis 2 mission is launching next month, which is going to take 4 human beings around the moon for the first time since 1972, Apollo 17. Around the moon. They're going to orbit the moon and go around the far side. They're actually going to be the furthest humans ever away from Earth because they're going to take a fairly wide loop around the backside of the moon. First person of colour, first woman around the moon, Christina Cook. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Is this a NASA thing?
This is a NASA mission with a Canadian astronaut on board as well.
What are they trying to do?
Return to the plan is to orbit now and in 2 years' time land on the moon for the first time since 17. Sorry, just
that's good,
the world is going to stop. You see, you don't know about this, but see the week it launches and it's happening. I think you'll be firmly aware.
I thought we had given up on the moon.
Yeah, here we go. We're back, baby.
It's very big in the '60s, isn't it?
It was, yeah.
When was that?
Yeah, space race, Russians. Reason.
You would have thought that they would have evolved on more and more.
I know. Have you ever seen For All Mankind?
No, but I was going to say
Arthur. Watch it.
Apollo 13 documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, For All Mankind. It's acted. It's an alternate history if the space race had never ended. There's 4 seasons of it. I'm on season 3.
It's
incredible. It really is. Arthur, it'll be one of your favourite shows, guaranteed.
Oh, wow, okay.
100%. It's brilliant. It came out in 2019, I think.
Is it on Apple, I see, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, I'll watch that.
100% watch it.
Wow.
An alternate. It starts off in real history and it goes on off on alternate politics. It's
class.
Thing,
there was a great...
You both love it.
I forget what there was a thing called. It was an amazing BBC documentary for like over 4 weeks during the winter about the
Challenger,
kind of
wasn't
space race. No, it's kind of, yeah, so it was weak, but it kept going up further. It was deadly.
Mm. Yeah, like,
I just love it.
Space, there's a thing that Alec Baldwin narrates about space, and he's travelling around space, and he's just commenting on everything he sees, and it's unreal. Your space is my Titanic.
You're into Titanic?
Love it.
Really?
I watched this thing. This is another thing over Christmas. BBC had a 4 nights in a row thing, appointment viewing about Titanic.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Did I tell you I was pen pals with the last Titanic survivor? Did I tell you that?
You're playing paddle?
No, I was pen pals. She was definitely not capable of paddle. In 2008, I wrote a letter to Melvina Dean, who was the youngest person on board Titanic, 6 months.
Do you think it was really her?
It was her, because I wrote
nervous laughter.
It was like the moon landing conspiracy. She was in a nursing home in Southampton. She was 97 at the time. Wrote her letters back and forth. She sent me a few lovely...
What age was she when it went under? When she went under?
She was 6 months. Herself, her slightly older brother and her mother went off in a lifeboat. Her father, unfortunately, went down with the ship because obviously...
So basically, right, when you're a third-class passenger, if you emerge on one of the... either port or starboard, whichever one you emerged on, you had a massively higher likelihood of escaping as a man because the officers on both sides had completely different approaches.
Right.
So one officer was like, women and children only.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lucky, you might have something left over. And the other guy on the other side was like, keep families together.
Jeez, yeah.
So it totally depended...
luck.
...on which side you went out.
Yeah. There you go.
One-on-ones. Raoul, the king of one-on-ones, is Carol Leary. It's because teams only have one striker. Two strikers use to split, push, and pull central defenders around.
Say that to me again.
I'll say it to you again. Yeah, Spacey 000.
Space teams.
It's because teams only have one striker nowadays. Two strikers used to split, push, and pull central defenders. Henceforth, there was more options for one-on-ones. There's a lot of like Lee Sharp going through 101 away to Aston Villa, and Paul Ince puts him through.
I think I remember.
And there is nobody around him for about 40 yards. The guy has all the time in the world to finish it.
Mm.
It's like a training exercise.
Yeah.
Davor Sukrad through 101 versus Schmeichel. Purposely slows down to draw Schmeichel out into no man's land and then chips him. You don't see chips.
No, you don't really see chips.
Chips are gone.
Yeah.
See, Casper got dropped, by the way. Casper Schmeichel yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
he was having a nightmare in the first league in Stuttgart. I don't know what they're going to do for the Old Firm, but he didn't play last night. OG Brazilian Ronaldo, love 101's Vieri, and the king of PES, Pro Evolution Soccer, Adriano.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the end of your final top of the show.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
Did you like that?
Always a pleasure.
Enjoyable. Can't wait to watch that.
Oh, you're going to love
Looking
it.
Looking forward to that.
You are going to love that now.
Good present.
Yeah.
Parting gift for you.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about it, really.
What was the last words on the moon by Gene Cernan were, we leave as we came, and hopefully as we shall return with peace and hope for all mankind. For all mankind, speaking of it. So what are your final parting words?
No, I can't top that.
You can't top that.
Can't top that.
Yeah.
Would you like my parting words? Don't miss a minute of rugby this month with an Off the Ball subscription. For a limited time only, you can get your first month for just €1. That's all your Six Nations coverage, expert analysis, specialist podcast, and more. Try OGB for a month for just €1 and see why Ireland's rugby fans never switch off. Download the Go Loud app and join in the obsession today. Nearly welled up.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.